Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Welcome, everyone, to the Goddess Vibration Podcast. This is Allie.
And this is Tiara.
Today, we are going to talk about what to look for when choosing a healer. We actually have gotten this request from a few people, and Tiara and I want to tread lightly here because we really don't want to be disrespectful to anyone or their craft, but sadly, there are a lot of imposters out there, and in order for us to be honest and authentic, we just want to kind of speak plainly about the fact is that this space is heavily saturated and everyone has their own journeys and their own learning. And we don't know who their teachers were. We don't know where they're getting this information. We don't know what type of information they're teaching others. And it's a space that can be very beneficial, but it's also a space that you need to have caution around because you just don't know who these teachers that you're choosing, the teachers, the coaches, the mentors, you just don't know where they get their teachings from or how they have entered their spiritual journey. And something else that I want to highlight in this is that just because it worked for them doesn't mean that it's going to work for you. And so we just want to talk about some red flags and green flags when it comes to choosing spiritual healers or any type of healer.
So, you know, we were reflecting on this topic and why it's necessary after a couple experiences, particularly an experience I had where I found someone on Facebook. Now, on Facebook, they have these massive groups of, like, spiritual people, right? Like, they have Starseed Facebook groups, and they have, like, Spiritual Awakening Facebook groups, and they have, like, hundreds of thousands of people. I think I saw a couple of groups that had 1 million people. Like, these groups are massive. And so, you know, I'm a member of a couple of them, and I hop on every once in a while just to see what's going on in some of these spaces. And I ran into an individual, a woman, who had this incredible claim, right? Like, she was a teacher. And I do know she was, like, doing this thing where she was trying to find clients and, like, doing, like, these intro sessions or, like, these meditation sessions that were, like, free and open to the public to, like, try to nurture some people in there. And she and I connected because I made a post about shadow work and how significant it is and how it seems like no one really does it. Now, I don't know why she commented, but she felt the need to. She commented and she had mentioned that she understands and recognizes the significance and the importance of shadow work, and that she did all of her shadow work and ascended to a very high 12D frequency in a span of 3 days. And I was just like, wow, really? Because if you actually did that, that's freaking miraculous. And that's something I've never heard of. Because the individuals that I know who have ascended did it over a series of years. So this is interesting. And so, of course, you know, me being the person I am, I was like, let me just explore this topic with her a little more. So I think I commented back to her. And we ended up actually going back and forth because I was like, you know, the way I understand it is that shadow work takes a long time. It takes years. It's not something you can do overnight. I question whether you have experienced what you did, which completely triggered her, right? Like, and I knew I was going to trigger the woman. Like, I knew that I have this thing about triggering people that's not healthy that I'm trying to work on, But so she was triggered, and then she got back and she was like, well, no, you're wrong. My experience was my experience. You can't speak to my experience. And I was like, you know what? You're right. I cannot speak to your experience. I'm just sharing that, as far as I know, it takes time to work through our shadows. But for whatever reason, she was convinced 100% that she had ascended to 12B. And, you know, I'm not going to sit and, like, question her experience, because she's right. Like, I shouldn't be questioning that. It's just, I don't personally believe that that's something that is possible. Now, anything is possible. It's just the way she was triggered and some of the things she was saying made me feel like, well, this whole conversation is bringing up things that are making you feel insecure. And if you're feeling so insecure about having ascended, why are you getting into this conversation with me trying to defend that? Like, if you're secure in your ascension, then you're secure in your ascension and we don't need to have this conversation. But she felt the need to defend herself so heavily. That was a red flag to me that, like, opposition in here is a miss. So that's just one of the experiences I've had. I've had other experiences seeing some of these teachers making claims and saying things that I know conflicts from, you know, when it comes to my own wisdom and experiences. Now, this is where it gets a little bit tricky, because you can't question someone else's experience. If someone says they had a specific experience, it's not, at least in my opinion, very good or right to question that. I think what we should be questioning is whether they carry the wisdom from said experience to be impactful and helpful to others. And that's where I start to not see the same traits and features. Like, I do not see a lot of teachers who really have the wisdom to help other people because they've gone through the journey and the process themselves. Like, rarely see these individuals. I think maybe I know of maybe one or two. And the years I have been in this space online, having conversations with people, looking for teachers, exploring healing avenues, I just don't see a lot of that. So again, that's just based on my experience. But I think it's important that other people recognize and understand that when it comes to this space, you're going to need to have the same level of discernment, unfortunately.
Something to highlight is that New Age specifically is very focused on the love and light aspect. And I know that that's what tripped Tiara for years, plural. And I think that's something that needs to be brought to attention, because I know a lot of people, especially when they have an awakening, you know, they hit Google and or they hit the internet or they are hitting the chat GPT now. And, you know, they're just looking for that love and light answers. And it's just like, it again, I like, I've said it once, I'm going to say it again. Love and light is an aspect of this journey, but it's only a fraction of it. And I also question anyone who makes claims that they have properly ascended if they don't work through any of their shadows and or have, quote unquote, an ego death, which, by the way, the ego death doesn't exist. It's not real. Now, there are things that need to happen with the ego to properly ascend, but having an ego death and being like, I don't have an ego anymore is complete. It's not, in my humble opinion, it doesn't exist. It's not right. So I will say that there are things that you need to look out for, like these spiritual teachers who sell solely love and light, like, I'm going to help you manifest overnight, or I'm going to help you manifest in 5 minutes, or I'm going to transform your life in 24 hours. And I'm just like, okay, like, they might be able to awaken you. They might be able to give you a different perspective. They might be able to get the wheels turning in your mind with the information that they're sharing. But in order to make very true change, no one can change another person. No one. Change has to come from the individual themselves, and change has to come from within. Now, you can look for people to help with that process, but all these people that are just like, I'm going to change you overnight and like your whole life is going to be different. And, you know, it's going to be this really transformative experience overnight. I would say that these are huge red flags, because there is an integration process. There is processes that need to go into place. There needs to be introspection. There needs to be connecting with your intuition. There needs to be validating pieces to this. There needs to be removing the ego for parts of this journey. There needs to be getting out of victimhood. There needs to be all of these shadowy or dark or dark night of the soul or whatever. There has to be, because you guys, we are human beings that exist in duality. There is good and bad. And so all these people who are literally selling you solely on light and good, like for me personally, that's a huge red flag, because how can we be duality beings if we only focus on one aspect?
Oh my God, I'm so glad you said that. You said that really, really well. Because, and that's the thing with the woman I was engaging with, is like, it seems to me that you haven't done any shadow work. So if you haven't done any shadow work, how can you claim to be this wise spiritual teacher? And it's just like, it's just a whole component of spirituality and expansion and growth that's missing because of this spiritual bypassing that we do, where we focus on like one aspect. We focus on the love and light all the time. And that's why I was saying, like, it's so rare that I see teachers who have actually done the shadow work aspect or are actually doing that work and sharing their wisdom from what they're learning through doing that work. Now, I actually have seen like maybe a handful of people on TikTok, particularly I'm thinking of one specific tarot reader who, like, her readings are focused on navigating through your shadows, right? Like, she's not going to sugarcoat. She doesn't do rainbows, fluff, and butterflies. She's like, if you're getting a reading with me, we're going straight into your shadows. Like, that's where we're going. I don't care what else you're asking about. Because it doesn't matter what you're asking about as long as these shadows are still here. And she's so right. The problem is that people don't like this. So she doesn't have the same influence that some of these other people do who are all love and light and love readings. And is your twin flame going to come back? And that person's thinking of you and they're going to give you a love offer. Like, you know, it's so aggravating and it's so unfortunate. But that's the reality of the space today, which is why we're having this conversation.
Oh, don't even get me started on tarot readers.
Oh, that's a whole other like thing. Like, guys, oh my gosh, the tarot readers out there, please, please practice discretion. Please be careful. Because a lot of them, again, haven't done that deeper shadowy work that Ali's speaking of, but then many of them aren't even using their intuition. And it kind of blows my mind that there are these so many of these readers out here that like have these mass followings, but like the stuff they're sharing is just all fluff and butterflies and like, and I'm just like, what do you get from that? Like, what do you get from getting readings that are all about like, oh my gosh, your lover's gonna come back. You just didn't wait. He's gonna come back around this time. I'm like, for me, I'm just like, okay, well, what is the block there that's keeping me from having this person now? Do I need to look at that? You know, do you have any information about that? Like, I don't know. I feel like the emphasis and focus with some of these big readers is always distorted. Like, it's always like, again, spiritual bypass stuff. I want to see the shadowy stuff. I want to see what the blockages are. I want to see what's holding us back. Like, what's keeping these two counterparts from coming together? At least that's the approach I use with my own clients. Some like it, some don't. But I did have regular clients for tarot who respected and appreciated my approach. So, you know, it's again, discretion is so needed. And I'm of the belief and opinion that when it comes to tarot specifically, like, you should find a reader that's balanced. You should find a reader who does the love and life, but also knows how to balance that with some of the more shadowy work, identifying the blockages and stuff, because that, in my opinion, is a good reader. So just a little tidbit for you guys.
I absolutely agree with Tiara. When I was learning tarot, I definitely hit up YouTube and watched a lot of readings as I was like learning, but I also wanted to work on my intuition and what resonated, what didn't. And as I grew deeper into my own style, because tarot is a style, it's a style meaning it's going to be unique to the individual, because even though all the cards have a very specific meaning, even teachers who are like, I'm going to teach you a tarot course, even they interpret the cards differently. And that's why I call it a style. But I noticed, and I would say the biggest red flag when it comes to tarot reading is if they do not read reversals. If they do not read reversals,
oh my goodness,
massive red flag.
Okay, so the whole reversals thing, like, I've got mixed sentiments around it, because there are readers who can read uprights as reversals, just being intuitive. Now, that is rare, but they exist. If you can find one, good for you. Most readers are not that, though. So, you know, the whole red flag behind not being able to read reversals is something I think that people should consider if you're looking for a tarot reader, particularly someone who can tap into your frequency, because not every single reader can. And that's something I had to learn when I was also watching a lot of YouTube readings. Like, I was running into these, like, readers who were entertaining. And, like, the stuff they were saying was interesting, but, like, it didn't resonate. Like, it was great, but it didn't resonate. And so I would always feel like there's just a piece missing or something missing when it comes to some of these readers, and I wasn't getting from it what I really wanted. Eventually, I did find two readers out of thousands. I found two who have the ability to tap my frequency. Their readings resonate, and they're balanced. They're love and light. Balance with shadow and blocks and what you need to look at. And I've been watching them for years. I haven't deviated or changed that. But yeah, that's also huge too. So you guys who are looking for readers and you're looking for these readings online, please do take into consideration that every reader isn't for you. They're not all going to tap into your frequency. They're not all going to resonate. You might have to actually find those few readers, or, you know, that one individual who can tap your frequency and give you a good balance rating. But again, that is not easy to find. It takes time. And it's really important that, again, you know what to look for, that you're looking for balance, because that is when you're going to get the most impact from the reading.
Absolutely. So I just want to quickly give the definition of spiritual bypassing for those of you who don't know what it is. And spiritual bypassing refers to the tendency to use spiritual beliefs, practices, or experiences to avoid dealing with difficult or painful emotions, unresolved psychological issues, or developmental tasks. And what I think a lot of people lose sight of in Love and Light is that you're actually overall just stunting your growth, because Love and Light is obviously very positive, and with all the darkness in the world, I mean, I don't blame you. Who doesn't want positivity? Who doesn't want something to focus on that's beautiful and positive, especially through all the darkness on this planet? But that's a whole other episode. So I know for Tiara, that was something that she really, really got stuck on, because, like, I know for me, my parents kind of were spiritual teachers, but in very, very different ways. And unfortunately, like, a lot of my life was just full of darkness. And so because I've experienced darkness from such a young age, I've been forced to look at myself my entire life, because there were so many things that kept happening to me that I just didn't understand. I didn't understand, like, why I was in the circumstances that I was in. Like, I didn't know, like, why I was being bullied, and I didn't really, you know, I didn't really ask to grow up in Vermont, which was its own experience. And, you know, it's just, I've experienced a lot of things that, you know, unfortunately happens, but at the same point, it's just, it forces people to isolate. It forces people to dissociate. It forces people into depression. It forces people into all these really negative emotions and these really dark places. And I know that that's what happened for me. And I was just like, well, maybe it's me, or maybe it's something I did, or maybe, you know, so it's just, I was forced into all of these situations from such a young age where I was constantly like, working through the darker aspects of myself, because I was just confused. I was unhappy, and I couldn't find the love and light through all the darkness. And unfortunately, it's just, well, I'm not even going to say unfortunately. I would say fortunately, now that I can look back on those experiences, it's like maybe I got a head start on the shadowy aspects of my life that really helped develop my spiritual gifts among my spiritual journey, because I didn't have the whole love and light aspect to start with. I was kind of forced into the darker aspects, which I think is really interesting.
It is very interesting. And, you know, I've had a similar experience, like really struggling to find, like, well, it's kind of come around about, right? Like, so I started off love and light, and then like realized that the love and light wasn't enough thanks to guidance and support. Then kind of pivoted into like some of the shadowy stuff. And like, I want to say maybe I may have gotten a little lost in some of the shadowy stuff, which I know that can happen. But to a point where it's like, in some ways I'm finding myself struggling to find my way back to the love and light component of it. Like, it's sort of, it's almost like it's coming around, or like going around in a cycle or a circle. And, you know, I'm trying to like find my way back to the light components of it, because I do think that when you start doing the deeper shadow work, like, you still do need the love and light components to keep you balanced, right? Otherwise, yeah, you're going to get lost in the darkness. And I feel like I have in many ways gotten lost in the darkness. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why I ended up doing the ayahuasca journey that I did, which is a different episode. Please check that one out. I talk about it in full detail. But yeah, no, that's exactly what it feels like. You know, it's sometimes you do struggle to see the love and light, to find the love and light. And so I get why so many of us like gravitate towards the love and light when it comes to like these teachers and the readings and like the information we're seeing online, because oftentimes like your life or your existence is so bleak and it's so dark, and you just want something different and you want something lighter. Like, it's completely understandable. It's just, I think it's easy for us to get lost in the light, and also easy for us to get lost in the darkness. Like, you just got to find that balance between both, which I know is so hard to do, but it's also so necessary.
It is. And so when we talk about looking at some of the red flags, I would definitely say one thing that you should look out for, like yourself, is that you guys need to start trusting yourselves, like trust in your ability to know what you need at that time. And I know that that can be very, very difficult. I instinctually kind of knew what I needed, because you got to try different things to also find your vibe, to find out like what works and what doesn't, because different healing modalities is going to work differently for different people. So that's why I am not a huge advocate for these people that's like, take my 6-week course. Now, what's great about those is like, obviously you're in it for 6 weeks, you're going to follow the program, and it's consistency, which is great, because in order to truly transform, you need time. right? And so that's actually one thing that I will say I like about the course. But the other thing that, like, playing devil's advocate here, what I don't like about the courses is that, what if you spend thousands of dollars on something that you don't even need, or something that's not really needed at that time of your healing process? And then it's like, okay, I'm stuck in this course for 6 weeks and I didn't really get much out of it. And so that's why I'm saying, like, I always look for, like, the one-offs. And if I like it the first time, or if, like, there is some type of impact, then I'll try it again before I go look for the long-term courses. Because I know for me, like, the universe has always been very good at presenting me with what I need at that time. Like, for example, when I was considering moving to Austin, Texas, I actually ended up booking an Airbnb, and she just so happened to be an EFT practitioner, emotional freedom tapping. I had no idea what that was. I had never done it. And something inside of me, like, as you know, I was Airbnb-ing with her, like, she actually became my very good friend. I was just like, something inside of me was telling me, like, you should just do a session with her. You should just try it. So I went to her and I asked her, and we did a session together. And I was just like, whoa, like, this is actually, like, something that really, really helped me. And so that's what I look for. I just, like, look for my intuition. Like, I learn about what they do. And, you know, if I feel instinctually connected to this person, and if I feel like, you know what, I need to give this a try, then I'll do it. So it's like, I have a friend who just became, well, like, a year ago, she became certified in Access Bars. Now, Access Bars, I knew nothing about Access Bars. And, you know, she is practicing right now. And I was just like, hey, I'll be your guinea pig. I have no idea what Access Bars is, but I Googled it and it looked super interesting. It's about, like, helping you remove limiting beliefs, and it helps you move the scarcity mindset. And I was just like, wow, this looks cool. I will happily be your guinea pig. And I went and had that session, and I was like, this is awesome. And so you just gotta feel the water, you know? It's like, when I knew, I don't know, maybe, like, 11 years ago, 12 years ago, I knew that I needed deeper healing. And then randomly, a hypnotherapist happened to show up, like, basically at my work doorstep. And, like, my mother had done hypnotherapy, and I know that she had very positive experiences. And I was just like, wow. Like, when she told me that she was a hypnotherapist, I was like, you know, my mother has been encouraging me to do this for years. And she was like, oh my God, like, come book a session with me. And it just felt right. So I booked a session with her, and then I booked multiple sessions with her because she was amazing. And then, like, the healing process was really interesting. So you just gotta trust yourself and look for the signs, and, you know, just don't go into something. The moral of my story is, you shouldn't go into something just because it sounds great. Because lots of things sound great, but just because it sounds great doesn't mean that it's right for you in that moment. And so that's why I help my clients, and particularly, like, reconnect with themselves, like, learn how to trust themselves, how to, like, choose intuitively and instinctually versus, like, something that sounds amazing. Because there's so much stuff that sounds amazing when it comes to exploring this space and how this space has grown to what it is today.
You know, you were talking about finding people and kind of aligning with people. That ended up happening to me when I initially had my awakening. I aligned with someone who does the Akashic Records readings. And it was like the kind of thing where I was like, I kind of felt drawn to her. I had found her profile on Facebook, and she had made a couple posts about, like, twin souls and stuff like that. And I had speculated that I had a twin soul, but I wasn't sure. So I ended up reaching out to her, and she did my very first Akashic Records reading, which gave me so much clarity. But the piece that I probably didn't catch or recognize was I wasn't sure how much of the shadowy work she had done, and ended up enrolling in one of her like one-on-one courses. It's like some type of divine feminine awakening course that she had that I ended up enrolling in because I was just like, well, you did the Akashic Records reading and that resonated, so why not? But after doing it, like, I was like, you know, I don't really think I got anything out of this, like, which is strange because her Akashic Records read was fantastic. So I couldn't quite fully understand why maybe the deeper stuff I was attempting to do wasn't as impactful. And now that I look back, I think it's because she, like very similar to some of these other teachers, hadn't really done the deeper, like shadowy aspect of the healing and the work. And, you know, the stuff that was in the course was very surface level, like lots of very surface level stuff. And which I did. But again, at the end of the day, like, I left not feeling that much different. I was just like, oh, well, that was interesting. But I feel exactly the same way I felt when I first started this course. So it's just, it's interesting. Like, you know, there are teachers out there who do have, like, the spiritual abilities, and they can do, like, the readings, and maybe they're very intuitive, and, like, they can walk you through the past life regression. But that doesn't necessarily mean that they have any deeper wisdom beyond that. And that's something that I didn't consider at that time.
Well, speaking of that, I feel like the most impactful teachers have been through the trenches themselves.
And exactly.
Because I just feel like a lot of people don't talk about the trenches. So many people don't talk about the trenches. Now, I'm not saying that none of these spiritual teachers have gone through the trenches, and maybe that's just not what they want to focus on, and that's okay.
Sure. Yeah.
But I'm just saying that I do question some of these spiritual teachers who are promoting these services, and I'm like, have you even gone through the trenches? Because if you don't know what the trenches even look like, you're going to have a really hard time helping people truly transform into their highest potential because they haven't experienced it themselves. They don't see the negative patterns. They don't see the negative behavioral things that are holding them back. And so they might just be missing those instinctual things to be like, oh, hey, like, this needs to be brought to your attention, because they don't know what to look for because they've never seen it or experienced it themselves.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong. Like, I have worked with teachers. Again, so some of the people that I'm interested in working with and have worked with are people that I know are spiritually gifted. Like, I know that they are highly intuitive, that they can work, see energies or work with energies and communicate with beings. Or maybe they're really great at hypnosis. They've got those certifications. I've talked with them. I feel comfortable with them. But I feel like when it comes to some of that stuff, like, you need to know what it is that you're seeking and wanting, and recognize and understand that if it's tied to, like, very specific spiritual gifts or abilities, like, there's a good chance you'll probably be able to find that in many of these individuals. But if you're seeking, like, more of the deeper, reflective, shadowy stuff, that's going to be harder to find because so many people just haven't gone through the trenches like that yet. So, again, something I wish I would have known when I was looking for someone to work with, like, you know, several years ago.
Now, I kind of want to talk about the comfortable piece of the healing journey, because my biggest hurdle working with Tiara was getting her over that hump. And if you've listened to the ayahuasca episode, you're gonna hear me say that, like, she gave me so much pushback. Like,
yes,
I was like, are we gonna go into a ring and fight? Because I'm not afraid of you. I will fight you.
Oh, that's how I felt talking to ayahuasca. I was like, are we battling? Nah, because I got hands. I got handles.
And, like, Tiara just gave me so much pushback when I was like, hey, do you want to know why you're not growing? And she was like, why? Because love and light, you're going to hit a wall. I don't care who you are. You're going to hit a wall eventually. It might take years to hit a wall. And unfortunately, I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but you're wasting time and energy and money at that point. But when she hit that wall, I was like, do you want to know why you're not ascending and why you're not transforming? And she was just like, well, I am ascending. And I was like, no, you're not. And because you guys have to understand, like, Tiara and I are very close, and like our souls have history, and like we work with some of the same guides, and even some of the guides were like, yeah, no, she's not ascending, which was obviously very triggering to hear. I was just like, it's time. It's time to start doing the deeper healing. And that's exactly how I presented it to her. And she was just like, what?
Nope.
What does that mean?
Nope, Peroni.
And so I think that it's important for Tiara to talk about some of that in her struggles with it, because, man, her and I have been at this for almost 3 years, and I'm finally getting her to push past those boundaries of comfort. And I want Tiara to talk about like what that fight looks like, what the struggle feels like how it feels to her nervous system, because I'm sure others feel the same way.
Oh yeah. And like, it feels terrible. It feels literally like, for me, it feels literally like I'm either gonna die or that I am dying. Like, that's how hard it is for me to push past my ego to get out of my comfort zone. Like, it feels terrible. And I don't know if that's just because I'm such a walking ego. I don't know if it's just a mental body thing. For those of you guys who aren't aware, I'm the mental aspect, and my split soul is the emotional aspect. I don't know if that's what it is. I'm not quite sure. I just know that it's so incredibly difficult. Like, when I start thinking about things like surrendering control, or going with the flow, or trusting the process, or getting out of my comfort zone, like, part of me is like, nah, I'd rather die. Like, that's how difficult it is. And so, you know, when I started into my ayahuasca journey, again, I talk about this in another episode, a big component of it was reflecting and looking at some of that control. And I've discovered that a lot of it is tied to pain because of the prior experiences I've had in other lifetimes and the associations that I've made between pain, surrender, and control, which was just a whole giant distortion. So I do think that that's seeped into other aspects of my psyche and my being. And, you know, a big reason why I decided to do the ayahuasca was because my nerves were such a stressed out, jumbled mess, trying to figure out how to surrender, but also do it in a way where I still have some type of control, which isn't possible. And
yeah, I was going to say, I don't think that goes hand in hand.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. But my mind was like, nah, we have to figure this out. And I think it's just my nervous system was like, nothing makes sense. I don't get what's going on here. We're just going to freak out. And my nervous system just went insane. And so I was like, yeah, let's go into this ayahuasca journey. So I don't know. For me, it's been very, very difficult to get to that. And I am understanding and learning that there are other layers to it that are rooted in trauma that are keeping me from getting to that space. And so I'm still digging through some of those layers. I've obviously recognized the pain piece and pain components. But something that has come up a couple times for me, which didn't, interestingly enough, didn't come up in my first ayahuasca journey, but I think it will in subsequent journeys, is I have had specific lifetimes where I have died in states that were either not my fault or out of my control, right? And pretty awful ways to go. I'm not going to share what those were, but they're just not fun ways to die. And so I think that left an energetic imprint for me that sort of made this false association between not being in control and then dying as a result of it. So that's a distortion that I'm also working through. And I would assume that this is probably similar for a lot of people who struggle with releasing control or surrendering, is that perhaps there's some type of association you've made in your mind, either from this lifetime or a prior lifetime, that makes that something that's very, very difficult for you to do. So since my ayahuasca journey, which was at the time of this recording 4 days ago, I've still been having things come up from the medicine. Like, the medicine's still a little bit in my system, so some things are still coming up. And one of the things that has come up is this conversation I've had to have with the universe around that burning death. I'm still having that conversation, but there was just a couple things that my subconscious was like questioning, like, wow, I died in such a horrific way. Why would the universe let that happen? Like, is it because I didn't have the control I needed? Like, and if that's not a factor, then why would any entity or being or energy or at all let something like that happen to an individual? So, like, that's some of the stuff I'm working through right now. And it's been very insightful, and it goes to show some of the distorted beliefs and thoughts that I've been carrying subconsciously from something that happened many, many lifetimes ago. So, yeah, once you start, like, really exploring some of that stuff, that shadowy stuff, the control pieces, things like that, like, you will be surprised some of the things that come up, because, like, karma, we say this all the time, karma is a bitch. In that past life karma, there's a good chance a lot of it is still affecting you now. So that's why, you know, we were talking about how important it is for some of these teachers out there and these people who are in the spiritual space to really be doing this deeper work, because you discover things like that, and something like that can be so helpful to someone else. It's just, for whatever reason, a lot of us aren't doing that depth and level of healing and work.
I would say the big reason why a lot of people don't do it, and the sentiment that I've seen online, is fear. People don't want to know. Like, I will say that there is something so true about the saying, ignorance is bliss.
Yeah.
You know, and finding out the truth isn't always easy. It's really not. It can actually be very devastating in many ways. But it's through truth that that's when you can take that information and you can start integrating it and you can apply it and you can learn from it. And if you, as long as you're able to integrate it, process it, apply it, it's through those processes that you become a better version of yourself. And, like, to be able to learn from it and just be like, you know what? Because the universe will cycle. Like, what I mean by that is that, like, especially you see this in relationships, and I can't tell you how many people I have in my life where I just see people dating the exact same person. I'm just like, oh, okay, so new man or new woman, but same behavior, you know, same cycle. And I feel like the universe does this to us because you haven't learned the lesson. You haven't been able to have the self-awareness to learn the lesson. You haven't been able to make better choices. You haven't been able to learn from those experiences. And so, like, the universe will do that to you. And unfortunately, what I'm learning, especially now with Tiara, as she's doing this ayahuasca stuff, is that some of the behavioral patterns are definitely from past lives, or even, like, from the soul, because it's the soul that's eternal, right? It's like the soul that keeps reincarnating into new human vessels. But it's the soul that has all of that information. And so, like, the universe will continue to show, like, some of those behavioral patterns, and it just cycles and cycles and cycles until you learn it. And so I find it really interesting how the universe will do this to us. But I understand why, because they want us to be able to grow and evolve and become better people and become the highest versions of ourselves, because that is a thing. That's the whole point of ascension. And ascension is a fancy word, you guys, for growth and expansion, raising your levels of consciousness, not being trapped by negative behavioral patterns and being stuck in negative emotions and always being like worried about life. That's really what ascension is. It's just a fancy word for growing and expanding.
Yeah, I guess it is. And, you know, it's really interesting in this space, too, how we have run into so many people, myself included, who believe in their hearts of hearts that they are ascending when they are not. And that is very tricky to navigate. And it's really tricky to say that to someone, you know, case in point, like I mentioned earlier, my whole experience with that woman who I was like convinced hadn't ascended, but like swear to God that she had. Like it's common for people to think that, and I don't know why. But there are probably a lot of spiritual teachers in the space who swear they're at a 5D state of consciousness when they're not. And, you know, it's tricky for them, but it's also tricky when you're trying to find someone because you don't know whether or not this person's ascended or not. Like, for the most part, you're just going to go by what they say. So it requires a heightened level of discernment, unfortunately. And, you know, for many people, that's very difficult already. So it's just, it's a challenging space to be in right now, which is why we do have these conversations, because at least we want to provide at least some guidance and tips to help you guys navigate some of the craziness out there. But, you know, hopefully, like when you guys are looking for teachers, exploring teachers, following some of these influencers, this information will at least help you know what to look for, you know, in some regards. Because I would really hate for anyone else to get stuck in, you know, love and light and get stuck paying for coaches and teachers who haven't done the deeper work. Because it's going to end up being a waste of your time and energy, unfortunately. And for me, I had to learn the hard way. Because for whatever reason, I have to learn everything the hard way. I don't know why. I'm working on it. So, you know, I hope that's helpful.
You know, I was actually having this conversation with Tiara a few months ago, and that's exactly what she said. She was looking back at the beginning part of her journey before I really took Tiara underneath my wing. And she was like, I cannot believe how much time, energy, and specifically money she felt like she has wasted. And that's another reason why we want to have this type of conversation, because these services are not cheap and you guys are going to do what you want to do with your money. It's just, unfortunately, this space is heavily saturated with wonderful spiritual teachers who have put in the work. But unfortunately, there's also a lot of imposter energy in here. And so it's very important for you guys to vet yourselves and don't focus so much on what you hear, like, oh my God, that sounds great, because I know Tiara did that. You want to start connecting to yourself and examine yourself in what you need at the time and make these decisions instinctually, intuitively, and based on your own needs at that time.
Yes, that's excellent advice. I just, you know, for myself, wish I would have had better discretion, discernment and discretion. Discernment has always been an issue for me. And I think a big piece of that is because I struggle with trusting myself, which, again, you know, going on my ayahuasca list. But which just keeps growing.
Tiara, like, she was making jokes, and it is a joke, but she was like, I'm gonna need like 5,225 sessions. And I was like, whoa. And I know it was an exaggeration, I know it was a joke, but I mean, she isn't joking about this growing list though.
I'm no, just I
like,
not.
Hey, I'm like, hey, you gotta look at this. And she's like, great, I'll just add it to my list.
Right. Like, it's like a whole page and it just keeps growing. But you know, I'm looking forward to those additional ayahuasca experiences. I actually really am, because I think they're gonna be very insightful. I think it'll be access to information I just haven't been able to get elsewhere, even with hiring teachers. So I am looking forward to those, you know, future sessions and experiences.
Oops. But yeah, deeper healing is definitely it can be daunting. It can be frustrating. I'm not going to sugarcoat this, you guys, because I typically don't do that. There are going to be frustrations. There are going to be annoyances. There might even be some anger, because I know Tiara has experienced anger, and I'm like, why are you getting so mad? And she was like, because it's just, I don't want to do this anymore. You're going to feel like you're going to want to quit.
Oh, yeah.
And I get all that. We get all that. But yeah. I would also say that if you are being that triggered all the time, then something's actually working. Yeah. Because the reason why I say that something might be working is because if you're getting triggered all the time in this journey, then it means that you need to draw attention to it. Like, you don't get triggered just because, like, you like to be triggered. You're being triggered because if you're getting angry about it, then it's like an indication of, okay, this needs to be looked at further, which can be discouraging, especially because I know for some people, and myself included, like, healing's tiring, man. It's like, sometimes you just want to break from it. And sometimes you're just like, I am actually exhausted from healing. I don't want to do this anymore. I need a break.
Oh, yeah.
We've been there. We know. But I'm just saying that, like, this is why in The Beauties of Triggering, we talk about this a lot. Because it means that something needs your attention. And if something needs your attention, then you know that you need to work on it. And that's why, like, although it's not pleasant, this is why we also say, like, triggering is a blessing in disguise. Because it's indicating something. It's like, you don't even have to put in the work to be like, okay, what do I need to work on? Just pay attention to see what you're being triggered. If you're being triggered, then that needs your attention. So it's like, you don't even need to, like, sit there and make a list and be like, okay, what are my shadowy aspects? What do I need to work on? Just pay attention to your triggers. That will be a clear indication for you, and let the triggering do the work for you to know, like, hey, this has got to be worked on.
Oh, yeah. I'm triggered, like, all the time. And it's so funny because it's, like, usually the same energies or beings that trigger me the same all the time, repeatedly. So, you know, from that, I've been able to gauge, particularly when it comes to, like, some of the emotional things and some of the repressed emotions, like, what some of it's pointing to. And going into my ayahuasca journey, it was actually, like, quite accurate, like, that for me, a lot of the triggering is just tied to, like, repressed stuff, repressed emotion that I haven't acknowledged or recognized and needs to be recognized and brought up to be released and honored. Or it's usually just something that, like, my ego doesn't like for some reason, because I have a massive ego. So someone might say or do something to me that will trigger my ego, and then my ego will do what it does. And then I have to step in and be like, oh no, ego, chill out. Which takes time. It's, you know, it takes a lot of time to get to that place, but it's absolutely doable. So coming from someone who's literally triggered all the time, it's, you can manage the triggers, you can deal with them, you can see them as lessons and opportunities. It's just, it all comes down to, like, perspective and framing and what you do with it.
Couldn't have said that better myself. So I hope this episode was very insightful and helpful when it comes to, like, choosing who you're going to work with, or even if you, once you start this journey, just kind of different signs that you should look out for, because people have requested this episode. They were just like, how do you choose a healer, or how do you know what modalities work for you? Honestly, we can't give you a straight answer, because that answer has to come from you. And I see so many teachers just being like, you need to work with me, like, come do this. And, like, that's not my style when I work with clients, because I'm just like, no, like, it has to come from my client. Like, my client has to know, like, I want to work with this person. Like, what they have to offer resonates with me. And that's, I don't choose my clients. I let my clients choose me, because I understand that process when I'm looking for, you know, different type of healing modalities. I do what feels right to me, or something that's piqued my interest. And it's like, you got to try it to know, because if you don't try, you're not going to know, right? And which is why, like, I have dipped my toes into so many different healing modalities over the years, because I'm just like, I know nothing about this. And so, like, I'm going to give it one try. And if I like it, then I'll book more sessions. And I'm not telling anyone how they should choose their healing practitioners, but what I highly recommend is to do it instinctually. Trust yourself and do it for yourself. Don't do it because someone's just saying like, well, if you take my course, then I'm going to transform you in 4 weeks. Or if you book one session with me, I'm going to remove your block and you're going to start manifesting overnight.
Right.
And unfortunately, there's so much of that.
There is too much of it.
So, TR, do you have any closing arguments or statements?
No, I mean, again, I really hope that what we provided in this episode is helpful and valuable when it comes to avoiding some of the mistakes that I made, in particular around finding someone who can really help me with what I need. And we do on this podcast also share a lot about the virtues and the benefits of doing plant medicine with the help of a taita or a guide. So, you know, if you're like one of those individuals where you've struggled to like find someone to trust or like someone who can really help you with what you need, or maybe you're struggling with a discernment component, or maybe you don't trust yourself enough to find someone, like consider plant medicines, because those are so, so powerful. And they kind of have an energetic essence, and it's a very loving and a nurturing energetic essence. And again, it's like wisdom and information that's going to be not only for your best and highest, but the plants are going to give you exactly what you need, and they're not going to give you more than you can handle. So that's another avenue if, you know, you guys are just struggling with finding teachers or guides. But those people exist. The people out there who have done the deeper work and done the deeper journey and can help you really shift exist out there. It might take some time to find them, but they're out there. And, you know, we know some of these individuals. They're incredible people. Again, it's just a matter of aligning with them and having the proper discernment to know that this person is exactly who and what you need. So that's it.
I just want to throw in there with the plant medicine is that you guys should do your own research. Like, yes, they're beautiful ceremonies and they are very transformative. Everyone that I've talked to has all had a very positive experience, but there are negative experiences that come with this. So I just want to make sure, like, Tiara and I are not health practitioners. We are not like certified in any way. So just do your own research and make sure that it resonates. Be very honest on the intake forms. Be honest on the intake forms. And then, you know, just have very honest conversations with your shamans or the facilitators to make sure that it's right for you.
Very well stated.
So I just wanted to thank everyone for tuning in. And if you guys have any questions or comments or feedback, like, please feel free to reach out to us.
Yes, please do. We always love hearing from you guys.
So thank you, everyone. And I hope everyone has a fantastic week.
All right. Take care, you guys.